Welcome to Washington Today on C-SPAN Radio for Friday, May 7th, 2021. Here are some of your headlines. April jobs report from the Labor Department, the U.S. adding 266,000 jobs, much lower than expected. Unemployment rate goes up from 6% to 6.1%. President Joe Biden says that report means the economy is still struggling to recover from the coronavirus pandemic. And that means that his proposed multi-trillion dollar infrastructure spending bills should be enacted. But some top Republicans suggesting the enhanced federal unemployment benefits in the last COVID aid bill, giving people the incentive not to go back to work. Pfizer and BioNTech request full approval of their COVID-19 vaccine from the Food and Drug Administration, which would allow the vaccine to be given to patients after the public health emergency is declared over. And Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, surprise announcement, says she's not going to run for re-election this year. She says it's time to pass the baton to the next generation. Associated Press reports America's employers added just 266,000 jobs last month, sharply lower than in March, and a sign that some businesses are struggling to find enough workers as the economic recovery strengthens. With viral cases declining and states and localities easing restrictions, businesses have added jobs for four straight months, the Labor Department said Friday. Still, the unemployment rate ticked up to 6.1% from 6% in March. That from the Associated Press. Reaction to the report from President Biden at the White House.
This morning we learned that our economy created 266,000 jobs in April. It hadn't been adjusted again yet, but that's what it says, 266. And listening to commentators today, as I was getting dressed, you might think that we should be disappointed. But when we passed the American Rescue Plan, I want to remind everybody, it was designed to help us over the course of a year, not 60 days, a year. We never thought that after the first 50 or 60 days, everything would be fine. Today, there's more evidence that our economy is moving in the right direction. But it's clear we have a long way to go. All told, our economy has added more than 1,500,000 new jobs since I took office. That's the most number of jobs created in the first 3 months of any presidency in our history. Just for perspective, in these 3 months before I got here, the economy added about 60,000 jobs a month, not 500,000. In the 3 months since I've been here, the economy has added 500,000 jobs per month. And this is progress. And it's a testament to our new strategy of growing this economy from the bottom up and the middle out. And it's a clear testament to why it's so needed. Some critics said that we didn't need the American Rescue Plan, that this economy would just heal itself. Today's report just underscores, in my view, how vital the actions we're taking are. Checks to people who are hurting, support for small businesses, for childcare and school reopening, support to help families put food on the table. Our efforts are starting to work, but the climb is steep, and we still have a long way to go.
President Biden in the East Room of the White House. By job categories, temporary work lost the most in April, according to the Labor Department, 111,000, followed by transportation and warehousing at 74,000 jobs. And in contrast, restaurants, hotels, and entertainment venues added 331,000 jobs in April. That net gain of 266,000 compares to estimates like the one from Dow Jones predicting 1 million new jobs and the employment rate falling to 5.8%. The question is, why didn't that happen? President Biden today saying, do not put the blame on the $300 per week federal unemployment benefit supplement.
Today's report is a rebuttal to loose talk that Americans just don't want to work. I know some employers are having trouble filling jobs. But what this report shows is that there's a much bigger problem, notwithstanding the commentary you might have heard this morning. It is that our economy still has 8 million fewer jobs than when this pandemic started. The data shows that more workers are looking for jobs, and many can't find them. While jobs are coming back, there's still millions of people out there looking for work. And the idea that they don't want to work, most middle-class, working-class people that I know think the way my dad did. He used to say, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm going to continue to because I think it's critical. A job is a lot more than a paycheck, he'd say, Joey. It's about your respect, your dignity, your place in the community. More than a paycheck is people's pride. It's about being able to look your child in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay.
While President Biden was speaking at the White House, Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida tweeted this: why is anyone surprised that the jobs report fell short of expectations? I told you weeks ago that in Florida, I hear from small business every day that they can't hire people because the government is paying them to not go back to work. U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the nation's largest business lobby group, also taking this position, pointing out that in their analysis, about one in four recipients of that extra unemployment benefit takes home more in unemployment aid than they did while working. Another Republican senator, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, responded to the jobs report on Fox News this Friday.
I think there's a combination of factors, Dana. Some people are reluctant to go back to an environment. They're still concerned about COVID. Other people have problems that their kids aren't back in school, so they're at home. But another factor in all of this is systematically paying unemployment benefits that are more than a person makes working doesn't create an environment that's particularly conducive to going back to work. So I think there's a combination of things. I haven't had a chance to dive into these numbers deeply, but obviously very disappointing numbers this morning.
One of the things I imagine that we're going to hear from the administration is that this jobs number proves that Joe Biden's very expensive American jobs plan, or I can't remember, I think it's the jobs plan, although I've called it the spending plan, but that they're going to say that this shows that this is why we need it?
Well, yeah, they will say that, like they say it's infrastructure when the vast majority of it has nothing to do with infrastructure. Like they said, the last one was about COVID when the vast majority of it was not about COVID. We're getting a little Orwellian with when it comes to the language we hear from this administration sometimes. I think fundamentally the economy is in a strong position. I think we're likely to still have strong growth. I'm hoping this is an anomaly that we see with this disappointing jobs number and that we'll be back on a much more robust path in the coming weeks and months.
Republican Senator Pat Toomey on Fox News. Labor Department's jobs report saying as well that of the 9.2 million jobless workers last month, about 30%, 2.7 million of them, have been out of work for 52 weeks or longer. The Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen saying the April report underscores the long haul climb back to recovery and that she believes the U.S. will return to full employment by 2022. She was at today's White House briefing with the press secretary, Jen Psaki, where Janet Yellen was asked about the possible inflationary effects of employers not being able to compete with the extra unemployment aid available to those workers.
Madam Secretary, what's your advice then to the employers who say they are having difficulty hiring workers? One suggestion has been made to perhaps raise wages, but if businesses have to compete with plussed up unemployment benefits, won't that result in an increase in consumer prices and touch off an inflationary cycle that so many experts have been worried about?
Well, I really doubt that we're going to see an inflationary cycle, although I will say that all the economists in the administration are watching that very closly. As my colleagues have said, the CEA put out a blog post on this. We expect somewhat higher inflation over the next several months for a variety of essentially technical reasons because of something called base effects that in year-over-year comparisons right now, the months in which prices fell the most are moving out of the average, and that leaves us with the number with the months in which they were rebounding toward more normal levels. But that's a transitory thing, not something that's associated with a buildup in wage pressures. I mean, with respect to wages, the best data that we have suggests that wage growth has really not picked up meaningfully. And in areas where you do see some pickup, for example, this month in services, there was a pickup in wages. But still, that's an area where wages actually fell at the beginning of the pandemic. And, you know, we're seeing a revival, not back yet up to normal levels. So, you know, in areas where wages are more flexible, they fell a fair amount, as the economy revives, we expect to see a return to more normal levels. But I don't think we're seeing meaningful upward pressure throughout much of the economy, but we'll watch that very carefully.
The Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen in the White House briefing room. You might remember on Tuesday she made some news on this front when she first told a Wall Street Journal event that interest rates may need to rise modestly to prevent the economy from overheating and dealing with inflation. And later that same day on Tuesday, she clarified that, quote, it's not something I'm predicting or recommending. Reaction on Wall Street today, the Dow up 229, NASDAQ up 119, S&P up 30. Now to the coronavirus vaccines. Pfizer and BioNTech starting the application process with the Food and Drug Administration for full approval of its COVID-19 vaccine, which is currently being used in the U.S. under an emergency use authorization from the FDA. A question today about what the full use means. You'll hear from the White House COVID-19 Response Coordinator, Jeff Zients, and top Biden administration science advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Hi, this is Issam Ahmed with AFP. My question was on vaccinating with Pfizer. When it becomes, if it gets full approval, will that mean it's then a standard of care, and will trials be able to continue with a placebo or not after that?
So I'll go first, and then maybe Dr. Fauci, you can also chime in if I miss anything here. If Pfizer announced today that it's applying for full approval from the FDA, it's important to start with nothing changes right now. The Pfizer vaccine, is still authorized under emergency use authorization. So Pfizer has announced that it has initiated its application for full approval, and we anticipate that it'll complete that application across the coming weeks. These reviews generally take a few months, is our understanding. This is all over at the FDA, of course. Given the nature of the pandemic, FDA will move as expeditiously as possible without compromising its gold standard for safety. Our focus remains on getting 70% of Americans, adult Americans, at least one shot by July 4th, as the president has laid out that goal. It will certainly be an important day if full approval is granted, but the process will be fully led and run by the FDA. Dr. Fauci, anything to add here?
Well, the question was about placebo. Right now, given the availability of vaccines, you'd have to have a really very good reason to do a placebo-controlled trial right now. Most of the trials, when they do occur, would likely be of non-inferiority or superiority trials, where you would have to compare it to another product as opposed to giving a placebo. You give a placebo control trial in a country in which there's no access whatsoever, so that if the people in the trial were not on the trial, they still would not have access to a vaccine. That's not the situation in the United States. So regardless of whether it's an EUA or it's a BLA, the same thing. You don't want to do a placebo right now.
Dr. Anthony Fauci and Jeff Zients at today's White House coronavirus response briefing. You heard Jeff Zients saying that the full authorization will take a couple of months. A CNN article notes that Pfizer and BioNTech requesting priority review, asking the FDA to take action within 6 months compared to 10 months designated under a standard review. Also, the application to the FDA only intended for adults 16 and older. The companies are simultaneously applying to expand the emergency use authorization to include children ages 12 to 15. Another participant in today's White House briefing is the CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky. And news from the CDC, a senior health official there who was one of the first to publicly warn about the coronavirus pandemic, Dr. Nancy Messonnier, said she's going to resign next week. She got national attention last year when she contradicted the Trump White House's efforts to downplay the severity of the virus and its threat. CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, saying of Messonnier that she leaves behind a strong force of leadership and courage in all that she has done. Another issue at today's White House COVID briefing, the Biden administration's call this week to share the technology behind the vaccines around the world by enacting a temporary waiver of patent protections through the World Trade Organization.
Sherstein, Bloomberg. Hi, thanks. What impact would a TRIPS waiver have on U.S. production, and could it undercut supply? And in addition to TRIPS, does the White House have any plans to push for broader international manufacturing capabilities?
You know, I think let me start with the right thing to do is the waiver. We are in an unprecedented once-in-a-100-year pandemic, and that calls for extraordinary measures. And in extraordinary times, you know, experts agree that the waiver alone won't result in the scale and speed we need to make enough vaccines to end this pandemic. And that's why we will continue to ramp up our efforts, working with the private sector and all possible partners to expand vaccine manufacturing and distribution around the world and increase, as you point out, the important supplies, the raw materials, the equipment needed to make the vaccines.
Jeff Zients answering the question at the White House COVID briefing. That acronym from the reporter, TRIPS, that's Trade-Related Aspects of Intellectual Property Rights. White House support for a patent waiver is being criticized by some Republicans and also the drug company lobby group known as PhRMA, for Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America. Its CEO, Stephen Ubel, was on Fox Business today.
There are three big problems with the decision that you just mentioned. The first is it's an empty promise. As you point out, it's not going to lead to more shots in arms. In fact, it's likely to make the situation worse because patents aren't the problem. There are two main problems to scaling up supply at this point. One is access to scarce inputs, raw ingredients, and the other is manufacturing capacity, which is inordinately complex. If you look at the Pfizer vaccine, it has 280 components from 86 suppliers in 19 countries around the world. So what's likely to happen if we give the recipe for these vaccines to other countries? They're not going to have the manufacturing capacity to actually manufacture the technology or the vaccines, but they are going to compete with our companies who can for scarce inputs. So they're likely to make it harder, actually throw sand in the gears of our company's efforts to ramp up supply. The second big problem is it's going to undermine U.S. leadership in the life sciences. If you look at the mRNA platform that's used in the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, you know, that's a brand new technology that has incredible promise, not only to produce vaccines, but for a range of other diseases. You know, even a component of that mRNA technology, the nanolipid nanoparticles that are used to actually deliver the instructions to the body. That's a $1 billion investment over a decade to develop that technology. Other countries would love to have the U.S. wrap that technology platform up in a bow and hand it over to competitor countries. You know, the president talks about building back better. You know, this decision is going to incentivize advanced manufacturing in places outside the U.S. We should be asking Pfizer, what is it going to take to expand your footprint in Kalamazoo, not Kuala Lumpur? And the last problem is, you know, it's what kind of message does this send to future innovators? You know, the more important your invention, the more likely it is that we're going to give the intellectual property away.
Stephen Ubel is CEO of the trade and lobby group PhRMA on Fox Business today. Germany also expressing some skepticism about this patent waiver this week. Spokesman for the German government saying that the protection of intellectual property is a source of innovation and the Biden administration's move would have a significant implication for vaccine production. Also today, the World Health Organization authorizing China's COVID-19 vaccine called Sinopharm for emergency use. That will allow it to be included in the WHO's worldwide COVAX program to distribute vaccines. WHO saying the efficacy of the Chinese vaccine estimated at 79%, but there are limitations in the data for people over 60 because few in that age group were enrolled. Washington Today continues in a minute. Welcome back to Washington Today. A few more headlines. A U.S. federal grand jury indicting all four former Minneapolis police officers involved in the killing of George Floyd last year, including Derek Chauvin, who was convicted on murder and manslaughter charges last month. The four charged with violating George Floyd's constitutional rights. The Federal Elections Commission dropping the investigation into whether former President Donald Trump illegally made hush money payments to women. The FEC says that it failed to find that Trump or his campaign knowingly and willfully violated campaign finance law when he paid porn star known as Stormy Daniels $130,000 just before the 2016 election to keep her from disclosing an alleged affair that occurred years before. The Ohio Republican Party, the Central Committee, voting to censure and call for the resignation of Republican Congressman Anthony Gonzalez for his vote this year to impeach former President Donald Trump. And the impeachment was over former president's role in spurring the attack on the U.S. Capitol January 6th during the counting of the presidential electoral votes. The censure says that Gonzalez betrayed his constituents and relied on emotions rather than the will of his constituents and any credible facts. Well, 10 Republican House members voted to impeach Donald Trump in January, and now with Gonzalez, 8 have been censured or rebuked in some way by state and local Republican Party organizations. Another one of those members is Liz Cheney of Wyoming. We've been following the story this week of her public disagreements with her party's leadership and with the former president, and the expected vote next week to remove her as the third-ranking U.S. House Republican. Today, she officially got a Republican primary challenger for the 2022 election cycle.
My name is Darren Smith. I'm a family man, a businessman, and a common-sense Republican.
I married way up, and my wife, Alicia, is the smartest and most decent person I have ever known.
I'm running for Congress because we are sick and tired of politics as usual, and it's time we export Wyoming values to Washington and not the other way around.
Wyoming is the least taxed, least regulated, and should be the most prosperous place in the world. America desperately needs Wyoming's resources and values to make America great again.
You see, there's just some lines you just can't cross. And Liz Cheney did just that when she voted against Wyoming and with the leftists when she voted to impeach Donald Trump.
While President Trump stood up for Wyoming, bringing back our jobs, strengthening our borders, backing our police, and reducing taxes, Liz Cheney voted to dismantle America.
It seems like that is all out the window now, but I have news for you. This is America, and we still have a voice.
Part of the campaign launch video for Darren Smith, Republican primary challenger, if Congresswoman Liz Cheney runs for re-election. Republican Congressman Alex Mooney of West Virginia suggesting today in a radio interview that if Congresswoman Cheney apologizes for criticizing former President Trump and promises not to do it in the future, she could win back support of her colleagues and keep her leadership post next week. But Mooney added, we shouldn't be fighting. Every time she takes a shot at Trump, it causes all this infighting, so she needs to stop, obviously, but I don't think she's going to. Also today, U.S. Capitol Police said that threats to lawmakers have more than doubled this year compared to last year. Keisha Lance Bottoms, Atlanta's Democratic mayor, held a news conference today to follow up on Thursday night's announcement that she'll not be seeking a second term this year. Many news outlets, including the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, calling it a surprise announcement. Mayor Bottoms said time just felt right.
My love for this city was a love planted in my heart long before I was formed in my mother's womb. And I wish that I could tell you there was a moment or that there was a thing. But when you have faith and you pray for God's wisdom and guidance, in the same way that it was very clear to me almost 5 years ago that I should run for mayor of Atlanta, it is abundantly clear to me today that it is time to pass the baton on to someone else.
Keisha Lance Bottoms was in the news a lot in 2020, first over her clashes with Georgia's Republican governor over his push to reopen the state's economy during the coronavirus pandemic, then as protesters filled the streets of Atlanta and many other cities after the killing of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer, and then Keisha Lance Bottoms' name being floated as a possible vice presidential running mate to now President Joe Biden. More from her news conference.
The last 3 years have not been at all what I would have scripted for our city. 3 months into our term, there was the biggest cyber attack in the history of a municipality in America. A federal investigation that seemed to literally suck the air out of City Hall into the previous administration. There was last summer. There was a pandemic. There was a social justice movement. There was a madman in the White House. And at every turn and every opportunity, this city rose above, and I am so proud of that. And what I know is that in the absence of my speaking my truth, people will insert a narrative, which is why I'm here today.
Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. She's the first African-American woman to hold that office. She narrowly won a runoff election 4 years ago, but said today that polls showed her in a strong position to win re-election had she decided to run. Sunday is Mother's Day, and First Lady Jill Biden is appearing in a public service announcement that's airing this weekend on the Lifetime channel.
The pandemic has affected every part of our lives, challenging us and changing us like we never could have imagined. Whether your kids are 2 or 52, this year has been a tough one for moms. I know it feels like so much is on you. It was a lot even before the pandemic. And just when you thought you had little left to give, you gave more.
We did it.
We did it.
Because you're a mom, and that's what moms do. I'm proud of how we've come together, even when we had to remain apart.
Bye.
Supporting each other in countless ways. I know how hard you're working, and I want you to remember that you're strong, you're resilient, and you're doing an amazing job. From one mother to another, I see you and I thank you.
First Lady Jill Biden, Lifetime is sponsoring the PSA and the social media initiative, hashtag That's What Moms Do. Thanks for being with us today on Washington Today. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcast, and download the free C-SPAN radio app to listen anywhere, anytime. Have a good night and weekend, and to all the moms out there, happy Mother's Day.